inmersión en Baugantown. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupobaugan.com.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. Yes, here we are, back together again. Here we are, back together again, back together again. De nuevo juntos, here we are. Back together again for Monday, a Monday morning. My God, what a downer, what a downer. A downer means algo depresivo o deprimente, something that gets you down. Oh my God, it's a Monday. Monday, what are we going to do? We can't change it. You know, I was thinking about this weekend. Is there some way that I can change and eliminate Monday? You know, it'd be nice to eliminate Monday from the calendar. That way we don't have a first working day, but then Tuesday would become the first working day. But who knows? Maybe in the future, Monday will be the beginning of a 4-day working week instead of pero la demanda, instead of a 5-day working week. When I was a little boy, little, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, 8 years old, before I turned 10, before I reached double digit age, my father worked on Saturday mornings. And if I remember right, I think most people worked on Saturday mornings from 9 to 12, something like that, from 9 to 12. And that was up until about 1960, 1961. And then, for some reason, it became much less common for people to work on Saturday mornings. And so it was a full 5-day. Instead of 5.5 working days, there were 5 working days. Now, 60 years later, the Friday working day is a little bit shorter. People leave around 3 o'clock or 2:30, and you notice the traffic is different on Friday. You notice there's a lot of heavy traffic. There is a lot of traffic congestion around 3 p.m., which on Monday to Thursday is the slowest time of traffic. Everybody's having lunch. And so it's nice to drive around the city at 3 p.m., on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but Friday, no. There's a lot of traffic because people are going home or going to business lunches late or whatever. So you never know that maybe within 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, maybe Friday will be part of the weekend. So we'll have 3-day weekends and 4-day working weeks. 3-day weekends and 4-day working weeks. 3-day, 4-day, 3-day, 4-day. Esos son adjetivos. ¿Qué tipo de weekend? Un weekend de 3 días. So, 3-day. Sin ese, 3-day. It describes, an adjective describes the noun. You know, a long beach, a tall building, a dangerous animal. So the purpose of an adjective is to describe the noun. And so the noun in this case is the weekend. Let's describe the weekend. A long weekend, a short weekend, a fun weekend, a rainy weekend, a 3-day weekend. And so a 3-day, un fin de semana de 3 días. And then a 4-day working week. Semana laboral de 4 días. All right, a 4-day working week. But that's not the case yet. And I probably won't see that in my working life. By the time we reach 4-day working weeks, I'll be retired. Yes, by the time I get to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix. Yes. Para cuando yo ya llegue a Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona. The capital of Arizona is Phoenix. And there's a song by Glen Campbell. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. 'Cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time, para cuando llegue a, para cuando esté ya en, by the time. And so, by the time we have 4-day working weeks, I will be retired or long gone. Long gone means ya desaparecido desde hace mucho tiempo. Long gone. That's a common expression in English. Long gone means he's been gone for a long time. Long gone in Espanol. Let's see if there's a good expression for that. Long gone. All right. So, they've been gone for a long time. Yes, sir. Long gone. You can say Francisco Franco's long gone. Because he died what? He died in 1975. Yeah, that was 46 years ago. Long gone. Yes. Atrás quedaron los años suyos. Long gone were the days of that man. He was the caudillo, as they say. He was the leader or the dictator of Spain for 36 years. But he died in November 1975. And then Spain started what we call the transition. The transition. But in any case, here we are together on a Monday. And so let's get going. Lo haré si me ayudas. Lo haré si me ayudas. I'll do it if you help me. If you don't help me, I won't. If you do, I will. If you don't, I won't. If you do, I will. If you don't, I won't. If you do, I will. If you don't, I won't. Esto es jugar con verbos auxiliares con significado implícito. You see, we play with auxiliary verbs in English. I will do it. Or, for example, yes, I will do it if you help me. If you don't, I won't. If you do, I will. I'll go there if you accompany me, if you go with me. If you don't, I won't. Si no, in Spanish, si no, no. Si, si, si. Iré si me acompañas. Si no, no. Ahora, si, si, si. Si, si, si. My God, you can say si, the word si three times. Si, si, si. Si no, no. Si, si, si. I've never heard a person say si, 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 but in English, I'll go there if you accompany me, if you go with me. If you don't, I won't. If you do, I will. If you don't, I won't. If you do, I will. All right. Lo haré si me ayudas. I'll do it. If you help me, lo haré si me echas una mano. I'll do it if you give me a hand. I'll do it if you help me out. To help me out is a common expression, but you don't need to say it. Just with the verb to help. Perfect. Perfect. To help me out means echarme un cable. Una, echarme una mano. Help me out on this. Can you help me? Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. That was a song by the Beach Boys. Lyrics, help me, Rhonda. Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Ah, Rhonda con H. R-H-O-N-D-A. That was a very famous song by the Beatles, by the Beach Boys. Well, since she put me down, I've been out doing in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed. Well, Rhonda, you look so fine, and I know it wouldn't take much time for you to help me, Rhonda, help me get her out of my heart. Help me, Rhonda. No, you don't say help me out. but help me out is correct. So, Lord, si me ayudas, I'll do it if you help me. I need your help, please. I need your help. Without your help, I don't know what I'm going to do. Vendrán si les llamas. Si los llamas. They'll come. They'll come if you call them. If you don't, they won't. If you do, they will. Si no, no. Si, si, si. If you don't, they won't. If you do, they will. You mean if I call them, they'll come. I promise you. If you give them a ring, if you give them a ring, if you call them up, otra vez, un alternativo con up, call me up. Yeah, dame un toque, llámame, call me up. I'll call him up. I'll call her up. I'll call them up. I'll call you up. I'll give you a ring. Yeah. But you don't need up. Just call. Call. All you have to do is call me. Why didn't you call me? ¿Por qué no me llamaste anoche? I was sitting next to the telephone waiting for your call. Yeah. And I sat there in the armchair. And there was a little table next to the armchair and the telephone was on the table. And I sat there from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. waiting for your telephone call. And you didn't call me. Why didn't you call me? I was expecting your call. So, that reminds me of the old woman. Do you remember the story of the old woman and the stormy night and the telephone? There was an old widow, una vieja viuda, an old widow, about 80 years old. Her husband had died 1 year before. She was alone. She lived alone in her house, well, in their house, but her husband had died and was buried along with his name. He was buried in a nearby cemetery, Cementerio Cercano, a nearby cemetery. And the woman was living alone in the house. She felt a little bit lonely, naturally. They had two children, but the children lived far away. One son, lived in Seattle, Washington, on the northwest point of the United States. And the other, a daughter, lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is on the opposite, diagonally opposite Seattle, on the Gulf Coast of Florida. And this woman lived in a house in the outskirts of Oklahoma City, in the center of the United States. It's a very stormy area. It was at night. Maybe about 10 o'clock at night. And she was sitting in her living room, in her armchair, reading a novel. And there was a small table next to the armchair, and the telephone was on the table. And the telephone rang. Ring. She answered it. Hello? And there was nothing. No voice. She said, hello? Hello, yes, hello? And there was no sound. So she hung up and continued reading. And after about 1 minute or 2 minutes, the telephone rang again. And she answered it, said, hello? And this time, nothing. Again, she couldn't hear anything. Hello? Who's speaking, please? Hello? Nothing. And so she hung up again and continued reading her novel. And 1 or 2 minutes later, the phone rang a third time. And she was reluctant to answer it. She was reluctant to answer it. She looked at the telephone and watched it as it was ringing. It's impossible to watch a telephone because telephones are not moving. But because a telephone is ringing, so it's performing an action, we could say she was watching it ring. She was looking at the telephone as it was ringing. And after about 7 rings, she finally decided to answer it a third time. So she picked up the receiver, placed it to her ear, and said, "Yes? Hello?" There was silence. And then she distinctly perceived a noise, a sound, a very distant sound that she couldn't identify. It was a moaning sound, to moan. M-O-A-N, escrito moan. To moan means gemir. A moaning sound, sonido de gemido, distante, a distant moaning. Very distant moaning. A distant moaning, and it made her very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. But it was a distant moaning. And she hung up. And then she tried to start reading again. But she couldn't. She couldn't concentrate on the novel. And very quickly, in a question of about 20 seconds, the telephone rang again. And she looked at the telephone and watched it as it was ringing. It rang 5 times, 7 times, 9 times, 11 times. It kept ringing and ringing. And finally, she got up the courage. She got up, como levantarse de una silla, se levantó. But in this case, to get up the courage means reunir el valor. She got up the courage to answer the phone. But this time she didn't say hello or anything. She picked up the receiver, placed it against her ear, and simply listened. And right away, the moaning continued. A distant moaning. But then she thought she heard a distinct sound, a distinct word. Margaret. Margaret. Her name was Margaret. And she was hearing Margaret. Very distant moaning. And she realized, she recognized the voice of her dead husband. Of her husband who had been dead for over a year. And she hung up. She got up, walked to the wall, and unplugged the telephone. Outside, there was a big storm. It was a very stormy night with lightning and thunder. It was very windy and very stormy outside. She sat down in the armchair. The telephone couldn't ring now because it was unplugged, desenchufado. She unplugged it from the wall. But she sat in the chair, listening to the wind, to the rain, noticing the lightning and the thunder. And that night she finally decided to go to bed, but she couldn't sleep. After hearing the voice of her dead husband. The next morning, she called a taxi. She called the taxi service. A taxi came to her house. She got into the taxi and told the taxi driver to take her to the cemetery. And the taxi driver took her to the cemetery. And at the gate of the cemetery, she told the taxi driver to wait for her, and she got out of the taxi and began walking. She entered the cemetery through the gate and continued walking towards her husband's grave. As she was walking, she noticed that the storm from the night before had affected the cemetery. Many of the branches had fallen. There were a lot of leaves everywhere. The storm had affected And she noticed as she was approaching the grave site of her husband, she noticed that a telephone pole had fallen. And when she reached the grave, she saw that one of the telephone wires had fallen directly on top of her husband's grave. So she realized that her husband was taking advantage of the opportunity to call his wife. And so she realized that, yes, she had been speaking to her husband the night before. All right. So to call, to call up, or to give somebody a ring, or to give them a call. We have four ways. Te llamaré is I'll call you up. I'll call you. I'll give you a ring. I'll give you a call. Which is the most common? Call. Which is the most recommended? Call. Simply call. Keep your English simple. Keep it simple. For understanding, of course, you need to be exposed to everything. But simply for speaking, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Saldremos si no llueve. We'll go out if it doesn't rain. If it does, we won't. If it doesn't, we will. So if it doesn't rain, we'll go out. If it rains, we won't go out. Yes. Or in this case, you can use the present continuous. We'll go out if it's not raining. Yes. For example, next Saturday night, which is 6 days away, I'm planning to go out. To go out on the town and have a good time. I'm planning to go out on the town. On the town. But if it rains, I won't. It's probably better to say if it's raining. If when next Saturday night comes, if it's raining, I won't go out. I'll stay indoors. I won't go outdoors. I'll stay indoors. I won't go out. I'll stay inside. I won't go out. I'll stay at home. If it's raining. Now, if it doesn't rain, I'll go out. All right. Saldré en cuanto deje de llover. I'll leave or I'll go out as soon as it stops raining. En cuanto deje de llover. As soon as it stops. Claro, en inglés no usamos el subjuntivo en estos casos. Cuando él venga, decimos cuando él viene. It sounds bad in English. Now, in Spanish. You can say cuando él viene in Spanish. Cuando él viene siempre le saludo. Cuando viene, le saludo. Cada vez que viene, le saludo. In this case, yes. When he comes, every time he comes, I greet him or say hello to him. Every time he comes. In this case, the indicative in Spanish and the indicative in English. Cuando él viene, le saludo. Ahora, mañana cuando venga, le saludaré. So, when you're talking in the future, you use the subjunctive, venga. But not in English. Mañana cuando viene, le saludaré. So it sounds terrible in Spanish. But in English, that's how we speak. So, cada vez que viene, le saludo. Y mañana cuando venga, le saludaré. Every time he comes, or whenever he comes, siempre que viene, le saludo. Whenever he comes, every time he comes. Whenever he comes, I say hello to him. And tomorrow, cuando venga, and tomorrow, when he comes, it doesn't change in English. English is easier in this case. We don't use the subjunctive. We have the subjunctive in English, but we don't use it very much. When he comes, I'll greet him. I'll say hello to him. The subjunctive in English is used only with certain verbs. The verb to suggest, the verb to insist, the verb to, I'm trying to think of more. English verbs that use the Latin subjunctive. Subjunctive. A ver si me lo da. Subjunctive. Yes. It's funny because you say, insisto, o insistí ayer, en que Nacho estuviera aquí a las 7. I insisted yesterday that Nacho be here. Yes. Y él insistió en que yo también estuviera aquí a las siete. Ayer insistió en que yo estuviera aquí a las siete. He insisted that I be. Yo esté. Y usamos estar. He insisted that I be here. Yes. He suggested that I come here. For example, he comes as él viene. Ahora, yo insistí en que él viniera. I insisted that he come, not he comes. Siempre insisto en que Nacho venga, antes que venga, a las siete y cuarto. I always insist that he come. In this case, we don't say he comes. So it's the English, it's the Latin style subjunctive in English. Yes. And I always insist that he put the music on at 25 past the hour. Okay. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Richard Vaughn again. My recent masterclass in Ristorante Vicky was a resounding success, standing room only. I want to thank all of you for supporting me in our return after 18 months of pandemic. Now let's do it again, this time in our previous location in La Politecnica de la Castellana. On Tuesday, ojo, Tuesday, no Monday, on Tuesday, November 30th, at 7 p.m., I will be in La Escuela Técnica Superior de Ingenieros Industriales, la UPM, la Universidad Politécnica de Madrid, Salón de Actos. It's the same location as the Museo Nacional de Ciencias Naturales. The address is José Gutiérrez Abascal, number 2. Ojo, José Gutiérrez Abascal, no José Abascal. Number 2, there's easy parking, public parking, right in front of the building. So I hope to see you on Tuesday, November 30th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in La Politécnica de la Castellana. Entrada libre y gratuita. Y el Salón de Actos admite mucha gente. 150 personas con restricciones COVID. 300 en total. So, spread the word. That's right, spread the word. Do you remember the meaning of spread the word? Yes, that's right. Corre la voz. Spread the word. I'll see you there.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Descubre. Aprende. Esto es Vaughan Radio.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, let's continue, shall we? Shall we continue? Shall we? I'm asking for your input. I'm asking for your input. I'm asking for your consensus. Shall we continue? Or do you prefer to go back and listen to some more commercials, some more spot radio spots? Shall we continue? By the way, don't forget, tomorrow is Tuesday. And as I said during the break, as you heard my voice during the break, tomorrow, we have an appointment. You and me, we have an appointment. Tenemos una cita. We have an appointment in La Politécnica de la Castellana, in front of the CESEDEN. Are you familiar with the CESEDEN? Centro de CESE. Centro. I can't remember what it stands for. CESEDEN. Centro. De, just a second. CESEDEN, I can't remember what it stands for. Centro Superior de Estudios de la Defensa Nacional. All right. Yes. So they are opposite each other. Están en frente. El uno del otro. Yes, they are opposite each other. La Politécnica, also they have la ciencia, the Museo de las Ciencias Naturales, I think, is located in the same building as the Politécnica. La Escuela de Ingenieros. La Escuela es Técnica de Ingenieros Industriales. I don't remember the exact name. But there I will be tomorrow, Tuesday the 30th of November, 2021, by the way, in case this program is repeated sometime next year and somebody shows up. Where's the event? If somebody shows up in next November, November 2022, we're in the year 2021, in the year 2021. So, do you remember the song In the Year? Lyrics, in the year 2525, if we are still alive. Yes, in the year 2525. Yes, do you remember that song? Yeah. It's a strange song. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lie. Everything you think, etc. In the year 2525, that's pretty far. That's pretty far away. Yeah. You know, Christopher Columbus discovered the New World for Europeans in 1492. That was 529 years ago. Yeah, 529 years ago. Now, 529 years ago. So if we move forward the same period, plus 529, we would be in the year 2550. 2550. That's really something. I mean, when you look back, when you go back 529 years, it doesn't seem like such a long time. But when you move forward into the future, 529 years, it seems, wow. It seems very futuristic, extremely, almost. You would almost think that we won't survive. So could you imagine people in the year 1492, extrapolating forward, moving, thinking forward 529 years to the year 2021. I can imagine the people in 1492 or at the turn of the century in the year 1500, 1500, you see. For example, the year before in 1492, Fernando de Rojas published La Celestina in 1499. The following year, I wonder if he thought, because of the success of the Celestina, it was very successful, well, he thought, what will the world be like? What will the world be like in the year 2000? He thought probably that we would never reach the year 2000. But we have. We've reached the year 2000, the third millennium. Fernando de Rojas. Es que hay una calle que se llama Francisco de Rojas. I always confuse them. But Francisco de Rojas was also somebody important in Spanish history. But I can't remember what he did. Francisco de Rojas. Let's see. Francisco Rojas Soria was a Spanish dramatist, dramaturgo. He was a dramatist. From 1607, he was born in 1607, and he died in 1648. Died very young, at the age of 41. All right. The main pieces of Rojas Soria were De Arre Abajo Ninguno, and No Hay Padre Siendo Rey. Okay, two of his two most famous plays. That's Francisco de Rojas. Now, of course, Fernando de Rojas, of course, was the author of the Celestina. But I don't know when he died. Fernando de Rojas. When did he die? When did he die? In 1541, man. He published this in, I think, in 1499. He lived a long life. He was born in, well, they think he was born in 1465. And he died in 1541. So he lived a pretty long life. A pretty long life. And he was the author of La Celestina, which I've read twice in my life. It's a very good book, by the way. Very, very good book. And it is very realistic in many ways. If you read it and you can, he brings you into the action. And you can, in this book, you can truly feel that you are in Toledo in the year 1499. You feel like you're in Toledo, in Intramuros. You're there with La Celestina, with Calisto, with Melibea, with her father, with Areusa, and some of the other prostitutes who were with La Celestina. And you can feel it, that you're there. It's a very good book. And he was a brilliant writer. La Celestina. Most people have not read it, but you should. You should. And to try to read it in the Spanish that he used. All right. Saldré en cuanto deje de llover. I'll go out as soon as it stops raining. As soon as it stops. En cuanto deje. As soon as it stops raining. But it's still raining. And I'm not going to go out until it stops. The moment it stops raining, en el momento en que deje, siempre en subjuntivo en inglés, en español y indicativo en inglés. As soon as it stops raining, I'll go out. But until that time, no, I'll stay here. I'll stay indoors. Because I don't have an umbrella and I don't have a raincoat. And if I go out, I'll get soaking wet. If I go out, I'll get soaking wet. Soaking wet means empapado. Yes, soak. Soak, S-O-A-K. Como jabón, soap, pero quitando la P al final y poniendo una K. Soak. To soak es dejar en remojo. Dejar una prenda de vestir en remojo. Bueno, dejar en agua. To soak it. Also dejar una comida, algo en remojo. It's soaking. To soak. But we say soaking wet. I'm soaked. I'm soaked. Estoy empapado. Or I'm soaking wet. Yes. And so if I go out now, I'll get soaking wet. And so I don't have an umbrella nor a raincoat. I don't have anything to cover myself, to protect myself from the elements. So I'm going to stay here and wait hasta que escampe. I'm going to wait until the rain stops. I don't know how to say escampar. Amainar. I don't know how to say that. Escampar. How do you say that in English? Until the rain clears up. Okay, until the weather clears up. No, we don't have a word for escampar. Amainar. Se usa un poco amainar. Yeah, Spanish synonyms. So I'm going to wait until the rain, until the sky clears up, until it stops raining, and then I'll cross the street. I'll cross the street. I have to go across the street. I have a splitting headache. I have a splitting headache, and there's a pharmacy just across the street. But simply to cross the street, because it's a pretty wide street, it's about, let's see, it's about, I would say it's about 70 meters from my building to the pharmacy across the street. And there's a lot of traffic, so I have to wait until the light changes and the traffic stops. And then I have a moment in which I can run across the street. But it's raining cats and dogs. It's tipping down rain, I think is what the British say. I think they say that. It's pouring down rain. It's pouring down. Tipping down? I think they say that. It's tipping it down, meaning it's raining heavily. It's tipping it down. That's a strange expression. If you say that in the United States, people don't understand you. It is tipping it down. It's tipping it down. Wow, it's tipping it down out there. You say that anywhere in the United States, people say, it's what? It's tipping it down. All right. Or it's tipping down rain. And so we say it's pouring. It's pouring down. It's raining cats and dogs. It's funny stuff. It's hard. These things. It's tipping it down out there. So if you must go out, take your umbrella. And please drive carefully. It's raining cats and dogs. But they don't say that in England. But they certainly understand it. Siempre gatos primero y luego los perros. It's raining cats and dogs. We don't say it's raining dogs and cats. And there are many ways of saying it's raining buckets. It's raining pitchforks. You say, está cayendo chuzos de punta. You know. Now, that's a funny expression. It is how, and I think in every language, chuzos de punta. It's funny expressions. Está cayendo chuzos de punta. All right. But we say cats and dogs, which is even crazier, you know. It's raining cats and dogs. So you can imagine if you write raining cats and dogs in Google Images, sometimes you can see cats and dogs falling from the sky. It's raining cats and dogs. I'm looking at the Google Images right now. And there's a photograph, a tricked, una fotografía trucada, of course, doctored photograph. And you can see a man walking in with an umbrella and cats and dogs are falling from the sky. But a real photograph, so it's been tricked, a tricked photograph. Cats and dogs falling from the sky. It's raining. It's tipping down. It's tipping it down. It's tipping it down. That means the rain is really coming down. It's really coming down. Se dice mucho eso. Está realmente viniendo abajo. Literalmente, it's really coming down. The rain. The rain in Spain is mainly in the plain. That's from Pygmalion. And later, My Fair Lady. Pygmalion, Pygmalion. Pygmalion is a play written by George Bernard Shaw. And later it was made into a theater production called My Fair Lady, Mi Bella Dama, o Mi Graciosa Dama. My Fair Lady, My Fair Lady. The rain in Spain is mainly in the plain. But you know, let's see, lyrics. The rain in Spain, in order to practice. Because, you see, the actress, or, well, Eliza Doolittle, she's Cockney. And the Cockneys don't say the rain in Spain is mainly in the plain. So la lluvia en España está mayormente en la llanura, lo cual no es cierto. Eh? But in any case, they'd say the rain in Spain is mainly on the plain. Something like that. I-E-I-O-U. And so Professor Higgins teaches, he makes a bet with his good friend, whose name I can't remember. Professor Higgins makes a bet with his friend that he can transform Eliza Doolittle into a good speaker of English, because they're walking through probably the East End of London, and there's a flower girl, a Cockney flower girl. And she speaks horrendous English. Very strong Cockney accent. And so Professor Higgins stops and says, my God, that's an awful sound, and I need to change her. And so they make a bet. He said, I can change her. I can transform her into a beautiful speaker of English. And so they make the bet. And so Professor Higgins convinces the flower girl to stop selling flowers and to come with him, and he will transform her into a lady, My Fair Lady, and teach her how to speak properly. And that's the basis of the story. And the first thing he teaches her is the rain in Spain is mainly in the plain. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. Ba-bum, bum, bum. All right. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. Se la lluvia en España se queda, permanece mayormente en la llanura, o sea, en la meseta. Which is not true, of course. The rain in Spain is in the north. In the north, basically. The place where it rains the most, and in Grazalema, in Cádiz, in the province of Cádiz, which is a little strange microclimate where it rains more than any place in Spain. In Grazalema, in Cádiz, it rains even more than in Santiago de Compostela, where donde la lluvia es arte. Yes, sir. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. The rain in Spain, how do you call them? The Australians. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. Plain. Spine. Because the Australians pronounce Spain como spina dorsal. Spine. Oh, you live in Spain. No, in Spain, no, in Spain. Eso, that's right, Spain. You live in Spain. Where the rain, the rain in Spain stays mainly on, I can't say it. I can't speak like Aussies. Wow. They have a very interesting accent. And the Kiwis as well. The New Zealanders. But in any case, let's go on. Saldré cuando, en cuanto deje de llover. I'll go out as soon as it stops raining. I need to go to the pharmacy, and I'm looking at the pharmacy across the street. I have a splitting headache. And I want to buy some aspirin. If I take 2 aspirin, usually my headache goes away. I suffer chronic headaches once a month. Not migraines, but let's say mini migraines. How many mini migraines do you suffer? I don't suffer migraine headaches. I suffer mini migraines. Ah, sufres muchas migrañas. No, sufro mini migrañas, micro migrañas, mini. Ah, you suffer mini migraines. That's right. Well, how many mini migraines do you suffer? How many mini migraines do I suffer? I suffer one mini migraine per month. Oh, and what do? When you suffer I take two aspirin. You take two aspirin. In the United States, many people use aspirin without the S. Me tomo dos aspirina en vez de aspirinas. I say it that way. That's how I say it. Take two aspirin. I don't say take two aspirins. I recommend that you pluralize it. Don't follow my example in this particular case. Don't say two aspirin. I would recommend you say two aspirins. Yes. But you know, if I say, tomate dos paracetamol, take two paracetamols, two ibuprofens. I think in those cases I would pluralize it, but not with aspirin. Take two aspirin. I think it's my mother's bad influence. Oh, my mother also had headaches. I have headaches. And my daughter has headaches. So it moves down the generations. Although I overcame my headaches. It's strange. I never suffer those headaches anymore. And abruptly. I suffer occasional headaches. Maybe once. If I don't drink too much wine, I don't suffer headaches, but maybe once every 3 months, I'll suffer a headache, basically in the middle of my head. And if I take an ibuprofen of 600 milligrams, it'll go away. It usually works. Paracetamol, no, and aspirin, no. But up until about age 40. I suffered many migraines, or say, migrañas, but they're very strong. Now, a migraine headache, migraña, is very, very strong, and it can last 2 days, and it incapacitates people. You're completely disabled. I've never suffered one of those super migraines that some people sadly suffer. But I've suffered the types that on one side of your head, and then on the other, it doesn't matter which side. It's extremely very, very painful. It's very debilitating. Debilitante se dice, debilitador, te debilita. It's very debilitating. Ahí usamos debilitar. You see, debilitate exists in English. The word débil, to debilitate, debilitate. And, it's a bit formal, but we use the word debilitating often. Well, often. I use it. I don't know if other people do. Very debilitating. Muy debilitante. Mira que existe debilitante en español. Debilitante. I didn't know it existed. I never heard it. I've never heard it. It's very weakening. I finally made a decision because I noticed that I suffered this headache every Saturday. It's called the executive flame out headache. Executives, ejecutivos, who are stressed out during the week. And then on Saturday morning, they sleep in. And I think maybe one of their blood vessels going to the brain relaxes and expands. Se relaja y se expande. One of the vasos sanguíneos. And it activates a headache. I don't know why. But this is common. The executive flame out headache. And it often happens on Saturday. Because abruptly you change your habits. You relax. You don't get up, you know, stressed or alert. Yeah. Let me see. Executive flame out. headache. Yes. And so I decided, maybe when I was 40 years old, I said, I'm going to try something. Because I had these things every Saturday. Sunday, no. Because by Sunday, I was used to the weekend. My brain was had already adapted to a different style of life on the weekend. But on Saturday, no. So I decided to get up at 5, 20 minutes to 6, you know, very early in the morning, the same time during the week, to get up, take a shower, brush my teeth, have a coffee, and get dressed as if I were going to work, and then to sit down and relax. And the first time I did it, I didn't have the headache that day. That Saturday, no headache. The following Saturday, I did the same thing. No headache. And for a question of about 4 or 5 months, I did that every Saturday. Never had a headache. And then I stopped doing it. And I've never had that type of headache again since then. So I found that was my trick to defeat migraine headaches. I'll be right back.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughan's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughan via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-444-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro. Adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en curso online en grupovaughan.com. Haz clic en curso online en grupovaughan.com.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about Trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Listening